You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Four democracy activists have been executed by the state in Myanmar, accused of conspiring to commit terror attacks. Today I spoke to Dr. Wendy Chu, a teaching fellow at the University of Auckland and the School of Education. She holds a master's in international relations, and her research interests include Myanmar. I started by asking Dr. Chu if the military coup in 2021 proved to be a catalyst for the political turmoil that Myanmar is currently facing. Here she is now.
Definitely. I would say it's not only a catalyst, it's probably the main reason for the actually current political turmoil. So, the whole reason for the execution of the pro-democracy activists came from the fact that last year there was a military coup that actually returned the country to the hands of the very brutal military regime. And as a result, Burmese people as well as Myanmar citizens, for ethnic minorities, are very fearful of returning to military regimes because they have had quite a terrible life under the military. Yeah. Hmm. So this is the key reason why I think the military is trying to basically use the death of this and the execution of the four activists to show that they are ready to quell any form of resistance and to basically try to force the Myanmar citizens to back off from their current protest.
And as you mentioned there, Myanmar has announced the execution of activists on the charges of aiding terror acts. What is the state's definition of a terror act?
I would say this. I think it's important to remind ourselves that all labels are actually acts of power. So the ironic thing is actually many Myanmar citizens saw these men as freedom fighters who are doing what they can to liberate the country from a very hopeless and bleak future under a military dictatorship. But the funny thing is the Global New Light of Myanmar, the state press, actually claimed that these four men were terrorists and that they were actually executing them because they were trying to do justice for the people. We need to be quite discerning in terms of the rhetoric of the state may not really be in line with what and how the people see different groups of people. Yeah, and I mean, I don't really think the state's definition of terror act really matter, because the state is basically, or the military state in Myanmar, is basically trying to define any sort of people who are against their regime as a terrorist. And it is basically, their way of justifying military rule, right? Because when you have terrorists, when you have people carrying out any form of violence, then there is a justification for the military to remain in power to kind of say that they are here to protect the people, to stabilize the country. So we need to be quite careful in terms of the agenda behind the state's labeling of different groups of people.
How prominent were the activists, and what effect will their deaths have on the ongoing situation? You've mentioned that the state is trying to quash further actions, but do you believe that these executions will spark new action or succeed in repressing it?
Of the four activists, I would then say Jimmy Cole is actually one of the most widely respected democracy activists. So in 1988, there was actually a nationwide student protest, and he was one of the most prominent student activists at that point in time. So he actually spent 15 years in jail for his role in the uprising, and then another 5 years in prison again when he protested the fuel price hikes in 2007. So the other very prominent democracy activist is actually Zaya Tor. He was actually a hip-hop artist who later on became a politician. So he became a member of the National League for Democracy, which is the party of Aung San Suu Kyi. Yeah, so he was elected to parliament in 2012. So the other two men are definitely less prominent compared to Jimmy Koh as well as Zayatoh. I mean, in terms of the kind of effect that their death would have, I would say it's hard to tell. Following their executions, right, there have been demonstrations in Yangon by the citizens to show their defiance, to show that they will never be frightened. And actually, you can also see that the families of the men actually went to the prison trying to retrieve the bodies of their loved ones. But the thing is, the government has refused to return the bodies to the family members. I think one of the key reasons why they are refusing to return the bodies is because in Burmese history or in Myanmar history, what happened is that funerals of very prominent people tend to become a trigger or a situation for the government, because activists typically use funerals as well as some of these major events to kind of like gather people and to actually protest against the state. So this is quite, I think this is one of the strategies that the military is probably using. And I mean, the thing is this, we must remember that even though activists and people, they try not to be frightened by the executions, their family members will be very concerned about the safety of their children, right? So family members are unlikely to like kind of like encourage or to allow their children, who are often young people, to participate in this protest, because it can be quite dangerous for a demonstrator. And in fact, a lot of the popular methods for protesting have been flash mobs. So the activists will actually run through the streets for a few minutes and then they quickly disperse so that they won't get shot, arrested, or run over by military vehicles. So it's actually very dangerous for protesters when they are publicly seen, in Myanmar itself. Mm.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the thing. And I mean, there are a lot of news reports that also highlight that the civil disobedience movement that was actually very, very strong last year is beginning to wind down. So there are now definitely less support for the civil disobedience movement. I mean, instead of saying that there's less support, I would then say it's because it has been, I mean, life for Myanmar people have become very hard. There is a significant economic downturn, and there is the fear of violence and fear of death. So there's a lot of things now that's making things very hard for people to continue to support this protest openly. So a lot of them are doing a lot of kind of quiet form of resistance.
And at this point in the situation, do you think that the international community should or will step in and take action?
I mean, the international community have all stepped in to condemn the executions, that's for sure. And this kind of international, I would say, voicing of support will give some sort of encouragement and confidence to people within the country that the rest of the world, or at least, some of them, is behind the protesters in their struggle. But if you were to say whether the international community would intervene beyond protest, like beyond like condemnation, I am not so sure. Because, I mean, that's the COVID situation that's happening in different countries. That's the Ukraine crisis that's going on. And the thing is, within the United Nations Security Council, China is not going to, is likely to veto any sort of actions that the United Nations take against Myanmar. So I don't really think that apart from international condemnation, that anything that is more drastic will be taken.
That was me speaking with Dr. Wendy Chu about the recent execution of four prominent democracy activists in Myanmar.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.